My name is Emily. I'm 28 years old, and today I want to share the story of how my life changed after marriage. You see, before my marriage, I had dreams. Dreams of finding my soulmate, of living a life filled with love and happiness. And for a while, I thought I had found it. It all started 3 years ago when I met Ryan. He was everything I had ever wanted in a partner. Tall, charming, with a smile that could light up a room. We met at a friend's wedding, and it was like something out of a movie. I still remember the way he looked at me from across the room. It was as if, in that moment, no one else existed but us. Ryan approached me with such confidence, yet there was a softness in his voice that made me feel at ease. "Hi," he said, "I'm Ryan. And you are the most beautiful woman I've seen tonight." I laughed nervously, not knowing what to say. But he kept talking, telling me about himself, asking about me, and making me laugh with his silly jokes. By the end of the evening, we were dancing together under the fairy lights, and I felt something I had never felt before. A spark, a connection. After that night, Ryan and I started seeing each other. We went on long drives, had picnics at the park, and spent hours talking about everything, our dreams, our fears, our childhood memories. He would surprise me with flowers, leave little notes on my car, and always find ways to make me feel special. One evening, after about a year of dating, Ryan took me to the beach. The sun was setting and the sky was painted in shades of pink and orange. We walked barefoot along the shore, laughing and holding hands. Then he suddenly stopped and knelt down on one knee. My heart started racing as he pulled out a small velvet box. "Emily," he said, looking up at me with tears in his eyes. "You are the love of my life. I can't imagine a single day without you. Will you marry me?" Tears streamed down my face as I said, "Yes, yes, of course, I will." He slipped the ring onto my finger and we kissed as the waves crashed against the shore. It felt like a dream, like something out of a fairy tale. Our wedding was magical. My family adored Ryan and his family welcomed me with open arms. We got married in a beautiful garden surrounded by flowers and fairy lights. I wore a white lace gown and Ryan couldn't take his eyes off me. We danced our first dance to Perfect by Ed Sheeran, and as he held me close, he whispered, "I will love you forever, Emily." I believed him. I believed every word he said. The first few weeks of our marriage were like a dream. Ryan and I moved into a cozy little house on the edge of town. We spent our evenings cooking together, watching movies, and dreaming about our future. He would kiss me on the forehead every morning before leaving for work and tell me he loved me. But then, everything changed. It started with small things. Ryan would come home from work looking stressed. He became quieter, more distant. At first, I thought he was just tired. But then, he started getting angry over the smallest things. If dinner wasn't ready on time, or if I asked too many questions about his day, he would snap. One night he yelled at me for accidentally breaking a glass. His voice was so loud and his face was so red, I barely recognized him. "I'm sorry, Ryan," I said, trembling. But he didn't calm down. He stormed out of the house and didn't return until hours later. As days turned into weeks, Ryan's behavior became more unpredictable. One night, I woke up to find him gone. Panicked, I searched the house and found him standing on the roof, staring at the sky. "Ryan," I called out, my voice shaking, "what are you doing up here?" He turned to me, his eyes wild. "Do you hear them, Emily? The voices? They won't stop." I froze. Voices? What was he talking about? That's when I realized something was wrong, terribly wrong. Ryan wasn't just stressed, he was battling something much deeper. something he had never told me about. "Ryan," I said softly, taking a cautious step toward him. "Come inside. It's cold out here. We can talk, okay? Whatever it is, I'm here for you." He hesitated for a moment, then nodded slowly and followed me down. I made him some tea and sat beside him on the couch. He held the cup, staring into it as if it held the answers to all his problems. "Ryan," I said gently, "are you okay? You can tell me anything." For a moment, I thought he might open up, but then he shook his head and gave me a weak smile. "I'm fine, Emily. Just a bad day, that's all." Over the next few weeks, Ryan's behavior became more erratic. He would wake up in the middle of the night, pacing the room and muttering to himself. Sometimes, I'd find him sitting in the dark, staring at nothing. When I tried to talk to him, he'd either brush me off or get angry. Once, when I asked him why he was so stressed, he yelled, "Why can't you just leave me alone?" and slammed the door. But it wasn't just the anger that worried me. It was the fear in his eyes. He looked like a man haunted by something I couldn't see. One night, everything came crashing down. I was in the kitchen preparing dinner when I heard a loud crash from the living room. I ran in and found Ryan standing over a shattered mirror, his fists bleeding. "Ryan, what happened?" I cried, rushing to his side. He looked at me, his eyes filled with tears. "They won't stop, Emily," he whispered. "The voices. They keep telling me things. I can't take it anymore." My heart broke as I realized the truth. Ryan wasn't just angry or stressed. He was fighting a battle with his own mind, and he hadn't told anyone, not even me. That night, after Ryan fell asleep, I sat in bed, unable to stop crying. I thought back to all the signs I had missed, all the times he had tried to hide his pain. I knew I couldn't ignore it anymore. I needed to help him, but I didn't know how. The next day, I called his sister, Rachel. She was the only family member Ryan was close to, and I hoped she could give me some insight. "Rachel," I said, my voice trembling, "I think something's wrong with Ryan. He's been acting so strange lately, angry, distant, and he says he hears voices." There was a long pause on the other end of the line before Rachel spoke. "Emily," she said quietly, "there's something you need to know." Rachel explained that Ryan had been diagnosed with severe schizophrenia in his early 20s. He had gone through therapy and was on medication for years, but a few months before our wedding, he had stopped taking his meds, believing he no longer needed them. "He didn't want to tell you," Rachel said. "He thought you might not marry him if you knew. He wanted to protect you from this." I was stunned. How could he keep something so important from me? But as the shock wore off, I realized it didn't matter. I loved Ryan, and I wasn't going to give up on him. That evening, I sat Ryan down and told him what Rachel had said. At first, he denied it, saying he was fine and didn't need help. But when I told him I had seen the pain in his eyes, he broke down. "I didn't want you to see me like this," he said, tears streaming down his face. "I thought I could handle it, Emily. I thought I could be normal for you." I held him as he cried, my heart breaking for him. "Ryan," I said softly, "you don't have to handle this alone. I'm here, and I'll always be here. But we need to get you help." Getting Ryan to agree to see a doctor wasn't easy. He was terrified of being judged, of being seen as crazy. But after weeks of gentle persuasion, he finally agreed to go. The doctor confirmed what Rachel had told me. Ryan's schizophrenia had returned, and he needed to go back on medication. They also recommended therapy to help him cope with his episodes. The road ahead was not easy. Some days Ryan would refuse to take his meds, saying they made him feel foggy. Other days, he'd lash out, frustrated with himself and the situation. But through it all, I stayed by his side. Despite the challenges, there were moments of light, moments that reminded me why I fell in love with Ryan in the first place, like the time we went for a picnic in the park, and he surprised me with a drawing he had made of us. Or the nights we stayed up talking about our dreams, laughing and holding each other. One evening, as we watched the sunset from our porch, Ryan turned to me and said, "Thank you for not giving up on me, Emily." I smiled, tears in my eyes. "I promised to love you in sickness and in health, Ryan, and I meant it. Our story is far from over. Every day brings new challenges, but it also brings new opportunities to grow stronger, together. Ryan's illness doesn't define him, and it doesn't define our love. But if there's one thing I've learned from all of this, it's that love is not about perfection. It's about standing by each other through the storms, even when the skies seem darkest." As days turned into months, Ryan's behavior worsened. Despite the therapy and medication, his mood swings became more severe. He would go from being the loving, gentle man I had married to someone I didn't recognize. The yelling became a daily occurrence, and his anger seemed to have no limits. One night, after another argument over something trivial, he slammed his fist on the table so hard it shook. "Why do you always make me feel like I'm not enough?" he shouted, his face red with rage. I froze, tears streaming down my face. "Ryan, I'm trying to help you. Why can't you see that?" But my words only seemed to anger him more. He stormed out of the house, leaving me alone in the deafening silence. The next morning, I decided I couldn't handle it on my own anymore. I called my parents and told them everything. My mom, always the voice of reason, listened patiently. "Emily," she said gently, "I know you love him, but love isn't supposed to make you feel this way. You've done everything you can, but you need to think about yourself too." Her words hit me hard. For months, I had been so focused on helping Ryan that I had completely neglected my own mental and emotional well-being. I was exhausted, constantly walking on eggshells, afraid of what might set him off next. That night, I sat alone in our bedroom, looking at our wedding photo. I remembered the vows we had made to love and support each other through good times and bad. But how do you keep a vow when the person you love no longer treats you with love or respect? I thought about the woman I used to be, happy, confident, full of dreams. I didn't recognize that woman anymore. For the first time, I asked myself a question I had been avoiding. Is this the life I want? And for the first time, I allowed myself to answer honestly. The next day, I told Ryan we needed to talk. He sat across from me, looking tired and distant. "Ryan," I began, my voice trembling, "I love you. I always have, and I always will. But I can't keep living like this. I'm exhausted, and I feel like I've lost myself." He looked at me, his eyes filled with a mix of sadness and anger. "So what are you saying, Emily? You're giving up on me?" "No," I said softly. "I'm not giving up on you. But I can't save you, Ryan. You need to save yourself. And I can't do that for you." It was the hardest decision I had ever made, but I knew it was the right one. The next few weeks were a whirlwind of lawyers, paperwork, and tears. Ryan begged me to stay, promising he would change, but I had heard those promises before. "I'm not leaving because I don't love you," I told him during one of our last conversations. "I'm leaving because I love myself enough to know I deserve better." After the divorce, I moved back in with my parents. At first, I felt like a failure, as a wife, as a person. But with time, I began to heal. I started going to therapy, where I learned to process everything I had been through. I also started rediscovering myself. I took up painting, something I had loved but had stopped doing during my marriage. I reconnected with old friends and began to rebuild my confidence. 2 years later, I was a completely different person, stronger, wiser, and happier. One sunny afternoon, while sitting at a cafe, a man approached me. He had kind eyes and a warm smile. "Hi," he said. "I couldn't help but notice you from across the room. Would you mind if I joined you?" I hesitated for a moment, then smiled. "Sure." We spent hours talking, and for the first time in years, I felt something I thought I had lost. Hope. Today, as I sit here telling you this story, I realize that my marriage to Ryan was both the hardest and most important chapter of my life. It taught me the true meaning of love, not just for someone else, but for myself. I don't blame Ryan for what happened. He was fighting battles I couldn't understand, and I hope he finds peace someday. But I've learned that sometimes the best way to love someone is to let them go. Life doesn't always go the way we plan, but it has a way of leading us to where we're meant to be. For me, that meant walking away from a relationship that was breaking me and finding the strength to start over. And as I look forward to this new chapter of my life, I carry with me the most important lesson I've ever learned. What appears perfect isn't always real, but what's real is always worth fighting for. Emily's story carries two very powerful lessons for anyone who is starting their journey with someone new or thinking about making a lifelong commitment. The first lesson she shared is this: think carefully before taking any big decision. Love can feel magical and overwhelming, especially in the beginning when everything seems perfect. But love alone isn't enough to build a life together. It's important to take the time to truly understand the person you're committing to. Do they share your values? Can they communicate with kindness even during disagreements? Are they willing to face life's challenges together with you? Emily admitted that she rushed into her marriage with Ryan, swept away by the romance of it all. She trusted her heart, but she didn't take the time to ask deeper questions or notice the red flags that were there. While love is important, it's equally important to approach such decisions with clarity and thoughtfulness. Life isn't a fairy tale. It's real, and it requires real effort. The second equally vital lesson she learned is this: a person is not always what they appear to be. What we see on the surface is often just one part of someone's story. Ryan seemed perfect, kind, romantic, and thoughtful. But beneath that exterior, he was battling issues that Emily only discovered after they were married. This doesn't mean you should distrust everyone you meet, but it does mean you should take the time to truly get to know someone before committing your life to them. Observe how they handle stress, how they treat others, and how they respond when things don't go their way. Don't let appearances blind you to the truth. Emily's experience is a reminder that love should not just feel right, it should also make sense. A lifelong commitment is one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make, and it deserves your patience, your attention, and your wisdom. Before starting a life with someone, ask yourself, do I truly know this person? Are we ready to grow together, even through the hard times? Emily's journey, though painful, taught her that it's better to wait and be sure than to rush into something that could bring heartbreak later. Her story encourages everyone to approach love with both their heart and their mind, ensuring that the foundation they build their life on is strong, honest, and true.